Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's time now to visit with our friend Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc, laughter is a great medicine. I hope that was helpful to our community.
Bubble 07, Jan, bubble 07.
I hope you're well. Everything good your way, Doc?
Yeah. Things are good. It's summer, right? It's even with all the complicating things we have, it's still summer. Things are well. My grandchildren are enjoying themselves, so that's very important.
My granddaughter, the White Tornado, came over to our place this weekend with her father and my son and our daughter-in-law. We played badminton in the sun for hours and just had a ball.
Yeah, it is amazing how much energy they have, correct?
Oh, my gosh. Having kids is best left for the young, because I'm known as a pretty energetic fella. I can't compete. I just, we've talked about this before on this show, Jeff, but when the grandkids leave with their parents and the grandparents then sit back and have a glass of wine, that period of time is known as reclaiming the castle.
It's amazing how the energy level goes from 100 down to about 3.
Yeah.
Once they're in the car and gone. It's incredible.
Well, let's talk about some of the other things that are happening this summer. What do you want us to know about monkeypox, Doc?
Yeah, so, you know, as we've been talking about every week, Jim, monkeypox, not surprisingly, is spreading around the world. The World Health Organization made a declaration this week that, you know, it's of concern for the world. They're seeing it in enough countries that they've really heightened the awareness. But the spread of monkeypox continues to be just very close contact, really requiring skin to skin. The populations involved remain the same. But this is something that we have to keep an eye on. But as I've been telling, the vast majority of us are not going to have to worry about this. This is not a respiratory virus like COVID. It's not going to transmit that way. So it's just something we'll continue to keep an eye on.
Should I be concerned about kids going back to school in the fall if it's out there?
No, it's unlikely that population is going to get infected. The group that's most at risk is being targeted right now with vaccination. The vaccines are still in short supply. They're being manufactured. We're seeing more and more vaccine coming. So the population that's most at risk, which is mostly young men, they're being targeted for vaccine, which is appropriate. So hopefully we'll be able to get control of this. But I don't think our school-age population needs to be concerned.
We talked this week about NOVIDs, people who haven't had COVID. Who are you and what's your secret sauce? And we heard from a lot of people who haven't had it at all. And some of them have been very careful and some of them have not. It's kind of a mystery, but answer this. Is there any sort of genetic predisposition to keeping you from getting COVID? It's not like that, is it?
Well, it might be. It might be in a small group of people. We know with other viral illnesses that can be spread commonly, there is a group of people that for genetic reasons don't get infected. That might be true with COVID. I think, though, that many of the people who believe they have not been infected yet with COVID, many of those folks actually have been. They just were fortunate that they were asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic. So I think that will make up a very large group of the so-called NOVIDs.
Well, answer this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. They say more than 2 years into the pandemic, most people worldwide have likely been infected with the virus at least once. Some 58% of people in the United States had contracted COVID-19 through February. What percentage of the U.S. population do you think has had COVID?
I think it's more than 58%. I would be guessing to give a percentage, but I would not be surprised that 80% or more of us have been infected at some time over the last 2.5 years.
Well, because think of all of the people you know who have tested positive and never told anybody. They just limited their going to parties. They didn't go to the family reunion because they tested positive, but they didn't report it to Cook County. So I'm sure that the number is way north of 58.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. It's difficult to test for this. It's really a research project, and that research project is ongoing. The most common antibody testing used for COVID is directed against the spike protein, the same spike protein that our vaccines are directed against. So having antibody against spike, if you're vaccinated, doesn't mean anything. But there's a different part of the virus that the vaccine has nothing to do with that can be tested for. So there are ongoing research studies looking at those antibodies that would have nothing to do with vaccine. The only way that somebody could have those antibodies would be if they've been infected with the virus. Mm. So the studies that have been done looking at pooled blood, let's say from laboratories where we donate blood, or when we give money to a blood bank. And by the way, public service announcement, if you are somebody who is eligible to donate blood, please consider doing it. There's always a shortage. COVID has caused a shortage. The weather, because it's the summer, means that there's even a greater shortage. So if you can, you have the opportunity, please do it. Though that blood that's donated is also tested at times. So we know the number is way over 50%.
Let's pause here, come back, and maybe answer some of your questions, too. 312-981-7200. I know some people that say tested on day one positive and then keep testing positive. Well, what should they make of those subsequent positive tests, sometimes a week or more into their first noticing that they had COVID? What do we do with that information, doctor? Doctor, what's the shortest possible answer to that question? What do we do with a bunch of positive tests? They don't seem to go away.
Yeah. another mystery of our mysterious virus, John. The first question that a person should ask is, am I still symptomatic? So let's say somebody started with head congestion, a headache, maybe a sore throat. They get 5 days out, their symptoms go away, they still are they're still positive. So at that point, they're feeling fine. According to CDC, it would be okay with the symptoms gone to be able to go out wearing a mask. However, if that individual is going to come into contact with somebody who's at risk of getting ill, like very ill, so an older person, immunocompromised person, it probably is not smart, even with a mask, to get into contact with somebody like that. I think the question, John, is why does this happen? And we really don't know why some people don't clear the virus like other people do. Mm-hmm. And we also don't know for sure if that makes that person infectious. So there's a lot of unknowns. That's why I think it's important that individuals who have this happen be really careful about who they're going to be with, because you don't want to expose the wrong person to the virus if you still have the potential of transmitting the virus to someone else.
And I think the question that's also sort of embedded in that is, when does the clock start running on that 5 days? From the first positive test or the first subsequent negative test? You make it sound like the first time you test positive, once you're 5 days out and asymptomatic, you're okay to go, even though you might still be testing positive.
Correct. As long as you're asymptomatic and you wear a mask, when you're with other people. Now, I think the more vexing problem is the individual who goes out 10 days, 12 days, even 14 days, and they're still testing positive. And those people are out there. What should they do? And I think, again, if they're asymptomatic, they feel fine, they should continue with their mask when they're with other people. And just be careful about being around some folks that might be at greater risk of getting ill.
John, I'm 53, healthy, had the booster in November. Should I get a second booster? I keep hearing the second boosters for the older folks. Is that me at 53?
Yeah, at 53, you have a choice. You could choose to get it. I think if you're healthy and you feel like you're doing fine, you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
But it's available. It's readily available.
It is available. Yep, it is there. The advantage, though, for somebody who's younger, and I'll still say 53 is younger. If you're 53, you're healthy, you take good care of yourself, you had that booster, the third dose, which is the critical one. I don't know that we can say that you must get the second booster, the fourth shot. Come the fall, and maybe as early as the middle of September, we're going to have the new booster shot that will be a seasonal COVID shot, very similar to what we do with the influenza, John, every fall and winter. This is going to be a combination of a vaccine against the first strain, what we call the ancestral strain from mm-hmm. March of 2020, mm-hmm. and the BA4, BA5 subvariants that we've been dealing with, particular BA5. So the manufacturers, and most importantly, Moderna and Pfizer, are busy manufacturing these. I saw something in the media yesterday that Moderna believes it will have a substantial supply come mid-September. We're waiting to hear what Pfizer's timeline is. So for our listener, I think it would be okay to wait for that, and you should do just fine.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern, will you join us again next Tuesday, sir?
I'm looking forward to it, John, and enjoy getting worn out by your granddaughter.
Yeah. Hey, it's aerobic. It's a good thing. It's nice to talk
Absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely. Keeps us young. Take care.
Stay well.